You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Wednesday, so it means it's time for, the S&M show, together with the one and only Salvatore Dali. He's here with us this morning. And also, not forgetting as well, Kusu Chuang and Julian Ng as well.
Okay, so the big topic this morning, and this is something that's been highlighted by Dali, the 8-year period since 2005 has seen the market capitalizations of our once much smaller neighbors, the Philippines, the Indonesians, and the Thais, gaining much more in terms of the market capitalization. For example, Indonesia went from 78 billion ringgit, I think.
US dollars.
Well, nearly 80 billion US dollars to nearly half a trillion US dollars in this 8-year period. That's a 514% advance compared to nearly $200 billion for Malaysia, going to $500 billion in that period, just a 166% advance. So if things remain the same, our neighbors could actually surpass us by market capitalization not too soon from now.
Exactly.
Now, the big question is why?
Yes.
Now, the big question is why?
Well, before we get into the whys, of course, there are some caveats that we need to bear in mind. Yeah. Especially for the bureaucrats who will be making a lot of like excuses, you know, because a stock exchange market capitalization, there are a few drawbacks in the sense that it's not fully representative of the real economy, and because certain countries, their percentage of GDP that are being listed varies. Say, you know, in a developed world, maybe it's only 50%. Whereas countries like Malaysia, we have a very high figure, you know, of course.
You're talking about GDP.
Percentage of
GDP.
Percentage
ratio.
Of GDP, yes, okay. Yes. So, you know, if some countries is at 60 and we are at 80, you know, it may not be like, you know, so representative. Thirdly, is that there are some exchanges that encourages more foreign listings, which may come into the market cap total. And fourthly, then there is the propensity for new listings. To be fair to Malaysia, I guess maybe like Indonesia had a lot more government assets that they wanted to list over the last few years, which may have
bulked up. Well, there was a plan by them to list quite a few dozen government entities by a certain time frame.
So other than that, that's the caveat. But still, notwithstanding that, my God, 166% rise compared to 514% jump. I don't even want to look at our comparison with the Philippines. Philippines rose 609% over the 8-year period.
Okay, so I guess the better comparable for the Philippines, you know, because the Philippines is coming off a very, very small base, right? But the Thai stock market in the same year, 2005, was $122 billion compared to Malaysia's 184. So not too far away. But they also rose by more than Malaysia by 234% versus our 166.
I think, Dali, I agree with you that these numbers actually are very important and they do mean something. I think this is one of the few times that I actually have in common agreement with you. But, you know, it must mean something to the policy makers because this is kind of reflecting Malaysia's place as an economic center, right? Because the more listings you have, the growth in more listings you have, really reflect the kind of demand for KL or Malaysia as a place or as an investment or economic center. If you look at the example of China, China's GDP right now is the second largest in the world, and that would mean a lot to policymakers all over the world. Even if you look at from a per capita GDP viewpoint, China is very low, right? But from a total economic viewpoint, they have a place in the world, and this is just jousting with our neighbors for an economic placement, I think.
Yeah, part of the reason, I guess, is basically because KL is not a financial center in the Singapore sense of the word or the Hong Kong sense of the word. You don't come to list in Malaysia and get seen by global funds. You come here and you get seen by a lot of local funds with a certain expertise in certain industries, whether it's plantations or whether it's oil and gas, but that's really about it, or REITs for that matter. But you go to Singapore, you go to Hong Kong, you get seen by a whole bunch of global institutional investors, right? And the other thing is that you come here and you tend to get a bit invisible after Gongdae, right? And that's why you get a lot of delistings and a lot of privatizations. Usually because they're undervalued and they're underloved.
Yeah.
And mind you, Singapore is also a center for other instruments as well. You know, for instance, the
we can't compare
commodities, the mercantile exchanges, and
shouldn't really compare to Singapore. But I can see one trend which kind of appears is why are Indonesia, Philippines, and Thailand kind of like favorite. One, if you look at it, it's also the population. There is a probably a concerted effort to basically market to the the rise in mid-income families, we basically are still living in denial that whatever we do, we really don't have what we call scale.
The retail investor.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
because
any kind of business that we produce generally. We don't have scale at all. It is easy to say that we did not invest well. I believe we did not invest well at all over the last 8 years, and there were too many leakages, obviously. But what is very deep seated is that not only did we not invest well, but what I mean by that is that in education, in tertiary institutions, not being able to churn out the kind of employees that are required by the economy to move up the chain.
We'll take this conversation even further down the line, yeah, and see what else is wrong with the system right after this on the S&M Show.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Oh, good morning and welcome back to the S&M Show. Ooh, let's continue on with more on the topic.
When did that scream come in?
I don't know.
Okay, we're back to the point about why Malaysia did not invest well. I mean, what I mean by investing well is that just look at our subsidies. You know, 8 years, what changes have there been made? Look at our addiction to foreign workers. What is that telling us? Mm-hmm. It tells us that we are still supporting all sunset industries. We are still requiring low-cost labor to maintain stupid, very marginal industries, I already made the point that we don't have scale. No, why in hell do we still have industries such as steel, cement, cars, low-end things that we don't have scale to produce? If we have other people who can produce cheaper, we buy from them. But no, we don't move. We don't restructure. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's painful to move people out of cement, steel, and all that. Do you see Singapore doing it? All of that have been outsourced. Mm. Stuff that people can make cheaper, forget about it.
I've only got two words to say to you. Certain parties.
Yeah, special quarters.
Special quarters.
Yeah. It's like everybody's got vested interests.
Yeah. Well, that's Malaysia's story, isn't it? Everybody's...
And there's a whole crux of the problem.
Yeah.
Jack of all trades, master of none. Is that an apt...
Okay, let's play the devil's advocate, okay? How about not just market capitalization as a measure, as a barometer of a success, but what about real returns, right? And if you look at it, mm-hmm. Malaysia hasn't actually done that badly when it comes to returns on a regional basis, right? Mm-hmm. It's actually done quite all right on that front.
Yeah, well, you compare apples to apples. I mean, we are one of the poorest performing markets in Asia, bar Japan.
I think we even underperformed the United States.
Okay, look, I mean, on a five-year return, okay, Malaysia's...
We underperformed United States. And mind you, United States had to...
Has been a dog since 2008, right?
Had to suffer a subprime implosion. Mm-hmm. We had no crisis to speak of, naturally.
Okay, I'm going to play the devil's advocate here, Dali, and I'm going to point out the fact that Malaysia returned 208% on a five-year basis, right? That's better than China, better than Singapore, better than India, better than Hong Kong, Korea, as well as Taiwan. Taiwan is the bottom of the heap, okay? Mm. Only Indonesia, the Philippines, and Thailand have done better than us over the five-year period. So, seen from another
Eight
angle...
8 years, you mean?
5 years.
From?
Well, 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
Do your math.
That means after the subprime.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. So it's not all bad, right? I take it on board and I agree with you. I mean, much needs to be changed. And the fact that the same government has been in power since the beginning of time doesn't help things at all. But
let's don't just trash. I mean, let's look at offering some solutions.
Get rid of Proton. That's my But you know, when you do something like that, it sends a message, a very clear message that you want to restructure and change.
Exactly.
As you say, steel should not... Why should we keep an industry alive when we can buy cheaper from
China?
Why
do we have steel? Exactly. I don't understand, you know.
The steel guys are getting hit left, right and center.
I think part of the problem is that if you look at the top 10 or top 20 listed companies in KL, right, they are mainly government-linked companies. You know, where is our private enterprise? Where is the market-driven kind of companies? You know, market leaders, industry innovative leaders. I mean, I can't think of one in the top 30 or 40 Bursa listed stocks.
When you talk about stock market comparison, we look at like you know high flyers such as AirAsia, say even SP Satya. Where are the rest?
AirAsia, where did it go for its HQ? Jakarta, right?
Yeah.
Where's Luke?
And we made noise about it. Oh my
Not
God.
Yet, right? They threatened to.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. When it comes to leaders, I want to point out to another posting on your blog, Dali, and citing comments made by certain government leaders, right? I'm not going to say their names. I'm just going to say their portfolios. The education minister number two. Send your kids overseas if you don't like the local education system. That's coming from the second education minister, right?
Your vomit blood.
From the home minister saying, if you don't like the local Malaysian laws, get out of the country. Okay? That's I'm translating here because my Malay is very good. Okay, and don't buy houses if prices rise. That's from Tunku Anan. Okay, because he doesn't have. You're posting this the same as portfolio here.
Okay, so and what he's saying, live on the streets.
Yeah, and the domestic trade minister, don't buy chicken if prices rise. Eat fish or meat instead, or fish or beef instead. What kind of comment is that?
We all know where this is. You know.
And coming another nugget of wisdom from Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob. Don't buy vegetables if prices rise. Grow your own instead.
But I live in a condo.
Not everybody is Jamie Oliver, right?
You're making leadership, me hungry, right? Very well researched.
Yeah. 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 I mean, these are pearls of wisdom.
Yeah. You see that every day in the papers, isn't it?
We were discussing, and part of the maybe the reason also it's there is could be a crowding out effect by say investing by local funds into our stock market in the sense that you know they keep coming in to take up every time foreign funds move out.
Yeah,
they come in and take
their
place.
Don't get me even started on that.
Yeah, and then maybe to the sense that why that's okay because but then again foreign funds may not be so keen to come back in because they don't like the valuations anymore. But hence, this may cause local funds to keep buying.
There is some kind of a liquidity trap.
Yes,
I think,
it's kind of a crowding out because, you know, okay, this is how we're going to play it. And then for us, no, that's not how we value the game.
Okay, I'm going to cite another, you know, because big private individual listings have been quite scarce in recent years. A lot of the big listings have actually come from GLC and GLC type companies, like Felders of this world. But the last big one, one of the last big ones was Eversendai, right? Nice big issue. You know, really good business, really international in nature, really regionalized in nature. But, I mean, look at Sendai's share price. It's in the doldrums for no discernible reason whatsoever, right? If I was Tan Sri, a.k.a., you know, I would be hopping mad.
He is, and he could have chosen to list in other countries, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I mean, seriously, we all know what is wrong, you know. What is our real blueprint? You know, we cannot just, you know, mine our natural resource, you know, and then allow certain kind of leakages and then continue with subsidies so as to stay elected. And that's a bullshit blueprint and that's going to drag us, you know, well, you know.
Mm. By the way, I had to beep out that little bit.
Really, I didn't hear it.
Yeah, I know. Okay, then. This is going to be the most interesting S&M show after all. But you know, end of it all, let's just sit back, relax, and enjoy a song this time round.
Oh yeah, you said I finally found a song for you, David, you to sing to your wife on your anniversary.
Really?
Yes, by Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Wow.
Also, sounds like your marriage.
All the emotions she had to go through while being married to you, David.
You made me so very happy. Is what it's all about. And don't forget, to catch hold of the S&M show every Wednesday at 9:30 in the morning. If you want more of Salvatore Dali, just pop on over to his blog at malaysiafinance.blogspot.com. Till next Wednesday, then. Just once more.
I chose you for the one. Now we're having so much fun. You treated me so kind. I'm about to lose my mind. You made me so very happy. I'm so glad you came into my life.
The others. BFM 89.9, the business station.